Okay. Just starting to dig on this breaking story that Dusty May is leaving Michigan to take the Mavericks job, as you just heard in the update. This is perhaps a little bit more insight that I can provide. Dusty May has told people that he is fed up with the state of college basketball and college athletics. And that is a big reason why he's making this jump.
I don't think that would surprise anybody at all. Everything we've talked about with college basketball, it is, I mean, the recruiting and re-recruiting and dealing with making all the egos happy with the NIL numbers and everything else that comes with it and all the, you know, it's a storm to try to maneuver through. It doesn't surprise me that he's tired of it. I think that lots of coaches would like to see some real changes made. And I'm curious to hear what Tom Izzo is going to say. Because Izzo respects Dusty May. I don't know if they like each other, but I think he respects him. And this will go in, you know, Tom Izzo's been railing against the NCAA and the system of college basketball for a while.
Well, it feels like it's not the NCAA sport to rule over anymore.
No.
It feels like it's being ruled by lawyers and judges.
Yep. And now it's chasing really good coaches out of the profession, moving them along to other avenues like the NBA.
And so there's a few things here. I always talk about the court of law is different than what we want. If you want change, you pretty much have to be able to defend it in court, right? You can't come in and make rules that are later, I mean, you can try, but yet think about when you're trying to make rules on how to govern this sport, will it hold up to scrutiny in a court? That's the reality of the world we're in right now when it comes to college sports. You can try to put rules in place, but those rules will get challenged in court. Right down to gambling on games got challenged in court. So everything that you try to put in place is going to get challenged in court. So we could say, because right now, if you know what I've been told is Dusty May, citing his frustrations with college basketball and college athletics, is a big motivating factor for him to leave and just say to hell with it and go to the Mavericks. We can say, you know, Michigan fans can be screaming that this is why we need reform and this is why we need some new rules. But the thing is, you have to be able to defend those rules in court. And I don't know how you do that when a player gambling found a judge to give him an injunction,
I mean,
to be able to play. Everything's going to get challenged.
Still can't believe that happened.
I can't either.
And that's even.
But that might be an extreme case, but that is an example of how even that rule that seems the most basic and pretty much universally agreed upon that should be in place and should be enforced, that got challenged and it lost.
Even Gronk know that messed up.
I mean, obviously college athletics has changed dramatically in the last 5-10 years or so. And I don't doubt that maybe, you know, that what you're hearing, Doug, is Dusty May got fed up with the college system and how everything's working. A lot of coaches have spoken out about that. But honestly, that's the easy button if you want to go to the NBA and not look like a bad guy. This thing that's going on in college sports sucks. I'm going to take the NBA job because anyone can say that and no one would blame them. Even if in your heart you're like, I wanted to coach the NBA the whole time. Like, it's the NBA, man. They got Cooper Flagg. It's the Mavericks.
I was just going to say, at least
huge right, dollars, and then, you know,
you want to really piss them off? Take the Indiana gig, right? I mean, that's where you get pissed when a coach goes from college to college. You know, watching, if you're an Ole Miss fan, seeing Lane Kiffin go to LSU, you're pissed. But if Lane Kiffin went from Ole Miss to the New York Jets, I don't know if you'd be all that
exactly,
pissed.
You
understand it. So this is... I mean, it's not, I don't know if this is going to be the norm because there's only 30 jobs in the NBA, so it's not easy to get one of those jobs.
So Nick Saban cited the same thing when he stepped away. And you're right, Kang. It is sort of the easy button. I'm not blaming anybody here. It's the system that's driving me away. But and now Saban is out there screaming about reform in the college game. He's a big advocate for some sort of reform. It's just any reform you come up with. This is why we're moving quickly towards employer employment status and collective bargaining, because I think that's the only way that you can probably come up with rules that govern the sport and that are mutually agreed upon. Because if gambling can get challenged, anything can get challenged, right?
Yes. Without question.
248-539-9797. Well, that is interesting. Again, source telling me that Dusty has indicated he was sick of the state of college basketball and athletics, fed up, moving on to the NBA. He takes the Dallas Mavericks job today. Wow. 248-539-9797. We always love Dusty May for the couple of years he gave us. Not happy, but don't blame him either. That's from an unnamed texter. From Matt in Royal Oak, college athletics sucks now, and M is leading the way. Nothing but mercenaries. As a Spartan fan, I'm glad to see May go, but on the other hand, I want to see the Spartans kick his pompous blank. Dusty got a national championship. Let me say it again for the slow ones out there. Dusty got Michigan a national championship. We love Dusty and wish him the best. That's from Greg in Woodhaven. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Bill in Canton. You're next on 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. I got this notice on my phone, and it absolutely ruined my day. I thought he was going to be here a long time, but I understand the whole ramifications of it. I understand that he's fed up with the college game, so am I. But, dude, I thought he was going to be here for a long time because I actually love Dusty May, the way he coached, the way he recruited players. My only thing now, who are they going to get? All these players wanted to play for Dusty, and now he's not going to be here, so what's going to happen with that? So it's like, I know the portal is canceled, but...
Well, no. So when a new coach gets hired, Gator, you just saw this rule.
Yeah. When a new coach is hired, there's a 15-day window that opens up 5 days after the new coach is hired.
They can't go into the portal until 5 days after a new coach is hired.
Yeah, who's gonna bail? I mean, a lot of these guys could just say, "Well, I want to play for Dusty. I don't want to play for whoever." They might just leave. I mean, Michigan could be down to bare minimal. They only got McKinney and the other guard that is going to stay. I can't remember.
Well, I can tell you, I know of one instance that I've been told that a new coach who was hired came in and the whole team put their name in the portal. And that's just the way things happen. And I made the point then, you got to recruit your own roster. And Gator says everybody's got to recruit their own roster, whether they're a new coach or not. And that's what Saban cited when he left, was I'm constantly recruiting my own roster. Gator's doing a great job of keeping his delight toned down. This is a glorious day for Spartan fans. That's from Brian and Dexter. Champ Dusty May won my favorite team a national championship and went on to bigger and better things. Good for him. Chump Dusty May won my favorite team a national championship and left us high and dry. I can have both feelings. That's from Jared and Woodhaven.
I think a lot of people feel that way, right?
Yep.
You want it because you don't want to completely dump on the guy because he brought you a national championship. At the same time, you're like, yeah, you were here 2 years. We got excited thinking there were going to be multiple national championship runs, and now it's one and done.
John in a box writes in, y'all talking professionally. Yeah, he did the right thing. In sports, he left them high and dry on a heater. Next text, Doug, I think the frustration stems from Dusty saying, I wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere. Sorry. If he was honest from the outset that he would like to coach in the NBA, then I think fans would be more understanding. I don't know if there's ever an appropriate time when you're the coach at a college program that's trying to recruit to say, ultimately, my goal is to get to the NBA. But for now, I'm committed to this place. I mean, think about that. What if any coach at the collegiate level said what you just suggested? If he were honest in the first place.
Isn't that kind of like what college players do, basically, though? They're there to, like, the top-notch college players obviously want to play in the NBA. We're only here until it's time for me to go, whether it's 1 year or 4 years. Yeah, I'm going to be on my way out the door.
And
that's fine.
Has a college coach literally ever foreshadowed their departure at any time? And they're
unless they let everybody know they're going to retire and they're setting things up for the heir apparent. I mean, that's one thing. But no, like this, no.
Yeah. What he suggested, what the texter suggested.
I plan to take my talents to the next level if I'm successful enough here where I'll be, you know, getting opportunities.
All right, so 248-539-9797, people still reacting to this. There is some interesting things going on in the NHL as it pertains to Dylan Larkin. We'll touch on that today at 11:30. Breaking news today, Dusty May telling people frustration over college athletics and basketball is the big reason why he is taking the Dallas Mavericks job. Breaking this morning. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. I just saw something here. I don't know if there's been a more true statement said about college athletics right now. And it was somebody on Twitch. And if you're just joining us, Dusty May has taken the Mavericks job. The source I talked to said he's telling people he's fed up with the state of college athletics, which is interesting because I don't know that anybody adapted to the new state of college athletics quite as well as Dusty May did, but it is a reason that a source told me that he said he's leaving. FBG25 on Twitch just tweeted us, everyone is a rental. And that's pretty true now. The relationships with players are fleeting. The relationship with this coach was fleeting. The relationship with Michigan State's AD was fleeting. The relationship with Michigan State's president was fleeting. The relationships with your rosters, which is probably the thing fans care about the most, is you have to adjust to the fact that everybody's on a one-year contract. That is a hard thing for people to deal with.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think you and I are kind of walking the same path here when it comes to college athletics that we'd like to see. I mean, if the NIL, obviously the NIL world here is, NIL world here is to stay. So why not come up with a system where you can actually have contracts where they are binding and okay, two-year deals?
Mm-hmm.
Because the year-to-year thing is ridiculous. It's seemingly ridiculous. And is 2 years, is that really restricting somebody? I mean, if you've got these NIL contracts, they're big contracts. The coach is jumping too. Is like that's a coach's contract really should be binding. You know, mm-hmm. It feels like it should be, and yet they're not. They all come with buyouts. So all the colleges and universities, they know that. They know it going into it that it's like that. But are things going to change? Do you want them to change more for players or more for coaches?
I don't know. That's a great question because I agree with you. It feels like the coaches should have more responsible, you know, you're a professional, you're the leader of men, blah, blah, blah. And yet as a fan, it's more fun when you have a freshman and you think he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
As opposed to, crap, this guy's
really good. We're not playing him, and he's going to leave.
Either crap, we're not playing him, he's going to leave, or crap, he's really good. Everybody's going to come after him.
Right, yeah, there's that.
Did you guys see what Duke's Twitter account just posted out 32 minutes ago?
Is it trolling?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
What is it?
A picture of John Shire as a kid in a Duke t-shirt. Basically, like, he's Duke for life. You know what I mean? Like, always will be.
Yeah.
Always has been.
Well, I would say we'll see about that.
Recruited by Coach K, for Coach K.
Well, I mean, are the days of Izzo done? Like, is John Shire going to be an Izzo? Like, or would you find that really hard to believe? I know it's way early, but
I don't know. I think the way that money is flying around now, I think some universities will be able to, they can hang on to their guys. And for a school like Duke, which is a basketball school, and they've got big-time alumni, I'm sure they'll find ways to hang on to guys they really want to hang on to. But is Izzo a bit of a dinosaur? I think he might be. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing or that he's out of touch. It just means that he's really old school.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking the mentality. Just one college coach staying at a program for a decade plus, you know? Is that a dying breed? Not Izzo's definitely a dinosaur.
It is a dying breed. I'll give you a perfect example where it's a dying breed. It's the football coach at Michigan. Looked like he was going to stay forever at Utah. Why would he leave? He built that program up.
Well, they ushered him out.
That's what I'm saying. This is like it goes both ways on it. It's like we would have thought forever that Whittingham was going to stay there. It was a perfect marriage. Apparently, it wasn't. He left because they didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, that was a weird deal with a coach in waiting, and they wanted the new.
It's all messed
up. I don't know the exact details, but that was a case where private equity might have bought the Utah athletic department and wanted them to make a change, like, which is a real sentence I just spit out.
Right, private equity, right?
Yeah,
the whole other, you know, the lure of, you know, some $500 million or whatever it is that the private equity firms are willing to invest as long as they get to, you know, have naming rights and stuff. It's crazy.
248-539-9797. Dusty did his job. Natty, do you want 10 years in the top 10 or a national championship? Wishing him luck. We'd take the Lions winning one Super Bowl and losing forever after that. That's from an unnamed texter. Dusty May made his whole career in the transfer portal and NIL deals, and now he's going to leave crying about how bad the system is in athletics. Yeah, I mean, he might, just because he was good at it doesn't mean he likes it. Maybe there were some challenges that have come up recently that we don't know about yet. That's possible. At the end of the day, he did adapt very well to it. And I know exactly what I'd be a kid. That's the question. If it's running this guy off, if he really sincerely means it, you have to remember too, though, as Kang said, one of the easy buttons, this is, hey, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm pointing at the machine. It's the machine's fault. And I think coaches that, you know, just want to let people know, hey, it's not you.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, but it's fair to consider.
Okay. Until the numbers come out of what the contract is with Dallas,
yeah,
you can do that. But then when those numbers come out and it's a 5-year, $50 million deal,
yeah,
and it's worth twice as much as what he was getting in Michigan, then you can say, okay, you may point at the machine, but the real machine is the ATM because you just got paid.
Let's go to Terrence in Detroit. You're next. Hello, Terrence.
Doug Gator, how's it going, fellas?
What's up? Right.
Two quick things. One, it was a no-brainer. I mean, when you think about it, the number of college opportunities to NBA is just a lot to a little. So I would have taken it. I don't see why anybody wouldn't have taken it, especially if I got to deal with contract disputes and players getting paid and talking to disgruntled agents. Why not do that at the highest level, right? That's number one. But number two, I'm curious on how this is going to look on Ward, given that this is now the second coach following a national title that has left. So I just wanted to, curious on hearing your thoughts on that.
It's a great question, and there are people really mad at Ward for letting Harbaugh go. I am not personally one of them, but, you know, you can also bring up the case of Eric Backich leaving. Backich wanted money that Michigan could not afford to pay a baseball coach. If in the case of Harbaugh, look, Harbaugh has a way that usually at the end of his run, he's ready to go and the place he was at is ready to say goodbye. And he did win a national championship and it was a great moment for Michigan football. But at the end of the day, I think he was at that point where he was ready to go and nothing Michigan could do have kept him. This one is surprising in that I think it was pretty much agreed upon verbally. We had heard that they had agreed to terms of a deal. But you can't make somebody sign a contract if they aren't willing to do so. And in Dusty's case, you know, I want to hear how long was that contract on the table? Was Michigan pushing him? Did they go back to him and say, are you not happy with these terms? Why aren't you signing this deal that was publicly out there and said they had agreed to terms? And what was his response? Do we need to give you more money? Do we need to lock you up? Do you need... What else do you need? Did they go back to him?
Do you need a pen?
Here's a pen, sir. 248-539-9797. We got another Dylan Larkin Trade Center News Aggregate Blitz Thingy News Desk update coming up. You're on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Well, the Dusty May News, big headlines today. Other stories are going on. including time for another Dylan Larkin Trade Center, spelled C-E-N-T-R-E, news aggregate blitz thingy news desk update. Scott, things are afoot in the National Hockey League, and we start with the Brady Tkachuk move from Ottawa to Florida for 3 first-round picks and a second rounder. Does this set the market when it comes to a Dylan Larkin potential trade? Would you be happy with a similar return for Larkin?
No, I would not be happy because I don't want just draft capital coming in return. And that's what this trade is. It'd be nice if you can get a one of the top picks, but I don't know if Dylan Larkin is worth one of the top picks. Dylan Larkin's worth a lot. And this, what I do like about this deal is that it shows that now you've got a template at least. Okay, because Brady Tkachuk, Dylan Larkin, regardless what fans think of Dylan Larkin here and what they might think of Brady Tkachuk, they're different players. And Larkin provides more to your team than what Tkachuk would necessarily. Tkachuk is a big bruising force and he's great, but he doesn't play a defensive side of hockey like Dylan does. And Dylan's very good offensively too. So looking at everything Dylan provides, I feel like you're going to get more than what Brady Tkachuk just got. So if you're Steve Yzerman, you're just sitting back and you're probably pretty happy about this deal because now you're like, all right, so that's what Brady just went for. So you got to step it up.
Yeah, look, I mean, would I be happy with a similar return? Actually, in theory, I would, okay, in a similar return, but probably a little bit more because Dylan Larkin's under contract for a longer time than Brady Tkachuk is. So you're getting him at a reasonable price for a longer period of time. And remember, 2 of those first round picks are this year, 9 and 25. Now, can Detroit find a way to get 2 first round picks? Here's the problem, though, with Yzerman running this, is that this is a trade for the future, not for the now. Like, this is a haul that you really could turn things around, but there's no immediate dividend for Steve Yzerman. There is a roundabout way to get to it, and we'll get to that later, but there's no immediate dividend coming back where you can sell, hey, we got this great young player or great young players, and he's already an embattled GM. The other thing that we just have to question is, are these picks really that valuable in the hands of Steve Yzerman, given how he has drafted? The drafts have been, especially of late, have been eh. And maybe those dividends will prove down the road that he drafted really well, but I would say a similar return might be the best kind of trade offer he gets, in which case he needs to make the best trade for the Red Wings, not the best trade for his job security.
Yeah, and I thought it was watching, I guess we'll get into a little bit later of what could happen here, but I do like that this has already happened because I think that it sets Red Wings up for greener pastures than what Ottawa got.
All right, next up, could we get a situation where talks stall? Nobody comes to the table to meet Steve Yzerman's asking price, and we kind of reach an impasse, and Larkin is stuck here. Well, Chris Osgood and John Keating, their podcast, this topic came up, and Keats asked Ozzy, could it play out this way, that Larkin actually stays in Detroit? All right, so that's Ozzy. Ozzy knows better than we do whether or not a guy could go back to that locker room. I tend to think that this is a real possibility. In spite of what Ozzy said, Ozzy, again, he probably knows better, but I don't think Eiserman's going to cave to some deal that isn't a home run. I think he's going to shop and shop hard to find a home run deal. And if he doesn't, he can just say to Dylan, look, man, nobody's giving us what you're worth. And we're going to have to find a way to make this work until a trade offer. I'll keep trying to trade you. In the meantime, you're a Red Wing.
Yeah, I think there's a very small possibility, a very small percentage that Dylan Larkin starts the season with the Red Wings. I think that, you know, it's interesting when you look at this perspective from the former players route with Chris Osgood, and he's talking about it's tough to come out there and the way the crowd's going to react and all that. What about how the room is going to react? Dylan Larkin asked for the trade. Mm-hmm. He wants out. You know, and players will look at that. Some players will look at that and say, he's bailing on us. This almost now, as this has gone on for a couple weeks now, I feel like it has to happen. They have to move him because I don't think his team wants him back at this point. If this guy's asking to get out it's like he's leaving a what he deems to be a tough situation, or is he leaving? We don't know what the reasons are that he's leaving. But if he's leaving because he's tired of the losing for 10 years and all that, okay, well, these other guys are still committed here for contracts, and they're going to have to deal with the mess that he's leaving, which is, I don't think that's going to bode well for Dylan Larkin either way. It's kind of a no-win situation for Larkin in terms of Detroit anyway. Once he goes wherever he wants to go, he's going to be happy, but his time as a Red Wing is completely marred.
Next up, a couple of notes from the Kevin Carius show out of Edmonton. NHL insider Frank Saravelli, who's with Sportsnet, Bally Sports Broadcast, and the Daily Faceoff. He had the following to say about young restricted free agent Jason Robertson from the Dallas Stars and what kind of contract his camp is hoping he will get. $14 million. If you trade Larkin, you're freeing up $8-whatever million. You got other cap space. You might be relying on some younger players. Would you want the Red Wings to get involved with young Jason Robertson, who had 45 goals last year, at $14
million? 14 seems steep, but if that's the price and you get him locked up for, you know, a 7 years or something like that, and I mean, it could make sense, and it could look like a bargain halfway through that deal because the cap keeps going up. He's a hell of a player. This is a guy who's scored 40 goals or more 3 times in his career, including last season. He had 96 points last year. He's got a career high of 109 points back in the year, the 22-23 season. He's a great player. Local kid, too. There's reasons that you'd want to get a guy like Jason Robertson. He's a superstar player. He's like that second tier behind your McDavid's and Draisaitl's. He's in that second tier of players. He's really, really good. He'd be an upgrade over Dylan Larkin. You got to pay for that if that's what you want to pay. But it's a restricted free agent contract you'd got to do. So you're still sending something the other way, and you're paying them the money. That's the tough part. Is what do you have to send to make it happen?
If they do make a trade, like the Brady Tkachuk trade, for just a truckload of draft picks, high draft picks, I feel like this kind of move is required.
Yeah.
You also then have to do this. You have to go sign this restricted free agent deal with Jason Robertson. Finally, from NHL rumor report, Bruce Garrioch of the Ottawa Citizens said regarding the Brady Tkachuk trade, a league executive told the Ottawa Citizen on Sunday night that they expect the Senators to use some of those assets they acquired in the trade with the Panthers to get another top six forward. Okay, does Larkin go to Ottawa for all those draft picks?
No, because I think it's like exile. I don't think Dylan Larkin wants anything to do with Ottawa, and I would understand why. He's got his no trade clause. He's got his list of teams he wants to go to, and I would imagine Ottawa is nowhere near that list. If he has to expand the list, it's still nowhere near that list. I think where it'd be interesting, Will Burchill brought this up last night in Sportsworks. Is it still possible that he could go to Florida? Now, Florida has like $7 million in cap space, so they would have to send players coming our way, which is what the Red Wings would want anyway, what we're talking about. The thought was that the Panthers did not want to give up Anton Lundell, who's one of the young centers that they have on the team. They did not want to give him up in the Brady Tkachuk deal. Well, Tkachuk's a forward. He's not a center. Dylan Larkin is a center. Dylan Larkin's an upgrade over Anton Lundell. Could the deal be made there where you get Lundell and a couple of prospects? And Will had mentioned a couple of those prospects' names. Jack Devine, who's a forward, who played in the AHL last year, had 43 points in 63 games, but played 4 years at Denver and got better and better every year he was at University of Denver, including a 57-point season his senior year there. And the other player is Marek Alscher, who's a defenseman, who's got some good size. He's a Czech player. He's 6'3". 205 pounds, and see if you like this scouting report on Marek Alscher. Defensively sound and robust, Alscher brings the skills one expects from a 6'3" defenseman. He hits, clears the front of the net, and suffocates the opposition with a tight off-puck gap. Details like heel pushes instead of crossovers, keeping his stick on the inside and angling attackers on the boards, manage risk like a pro-level defender. Sounds like a can't-miss guy, and they just both of those players had like a handful of games they got to play in the NHL this past season. They're both ready to play in the NHL, and if you get Lundell as well, that'd be an interesting haul of players in return if you could swing it.
There you go. That is the latest from the Dylan Larkin Trade Center News Aggregate Blitz Thingy News Desk update. And Gator, I think something's going to go down before the draft Thursday. That's just where I'm at.
You got a hunch?
It's going to go down before the draft Thursday.
Is that a hunch?
It is a hunch.
Okay.
We'll get the phone calls and feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. All right, lots to get to here. If you want to keep talking about the news, the breaking news this morning that Dusty May is leaving Michigan to take the Dallas Mavericks job, a source telling me that Dusty cited that he is fed up with the state of college athletics, which is interesting because, to be quite frank, nobody adapted probably better than Dusty May. But, whatever challenges he's talking about, it makes you wonder if there's something else that was bothering him. 248-539-9797. That we haven't heard of yet. You know, is there guys on his current roster? I don't know. I don't even want to speculate. It's probably not fair, but it's interesting. And as I said at the beginning of this, it's probably what, well, I'm going to wait to get more reporting on this to find out and see what I can find out on my own regarding what is at the core of this. And how did it go down with the new contract that was agreed to verbally? That Ward Manuel said publicly, we got agreement verbally, just got to get it signed here. And why didn't it get signed? Was there a problem with the contract? Is there culpability here? Or was it just a case of he didn't sign it, left the door open, and eventually left Michigan? 248-539-9797. Plus your reaction to any of the Larkin stuff, which is percolating. And you feel like Thursday is a bit of a deadline because that's when the NHL draft is. And if there's any draft capital involved, well, let's face it, the deal has to go down before the draft to make that draft capital matter, right?
Yes. Particularly if you're getting a first round pick that you don't have.
248-539-9797. Tim in Kalamazoo. Hello, Tim.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, just, you know, thinking about this whole Larkin thing. You know, I know it'd be a tough sell, but I just feel like Steve's only path is take a step back to take two steps forward. I'm okay with trading away Larkin. You know, you talk to DeBrincat. If you trade away DeBrincat too, you could just get a massive haul of young prospects, draft picks. You could just have an absolute war chest. You graduate three or four guys from Grand Rapids. You bring them up next year. That way you know what you have in these guys. And basically, next year is going to be a wash either way. So you evaluate what you have. You have this war chest, and you go from there. I feel like that's most likely what's going to happen, but I would be okay with that, I guess. I don't want to wait any longer to win, but that seems like
Tim, that's you would. You would be if that hadn't happened.
Tim, the one thing you're bringing up, and I think there's merit to it, the best offer is most likely going to be one that we don't see an immediate dividend. Because, I mean, we all know how this works. You don't trade for a Dylan Larkin and then not try and win with Dylan Larkin. So you don't want to undermine your own roster by giving Detroit NHL caliber players that Detroit would covet. So it's going to be almost assuredly more like this Brady Tkachuk deal. That's probably going to be the best offer he gets. And it might be good enough to take. And what I mean by that is, you know, three first round picks, including two in this draft, that would have been appealing to me. I think you probably could have got more for Dylan because he's under contract for a longer period of time. But, you know, it makes you wonder, did Florida talk to Detroit about Larkin? And what were those conversations like? Because Florida then turned around and traded with Ottawa for Brady Tkachuk. So he gave up. The only thing that we had talked about coming from Florida was the number 9 pick being part of a package of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and now Florida doesn't have the draft capital to go out and trade for Larkin. And so was Yzerman, did he have an asking price that was way higher than this that made him say, we'll move on to go to pay this, and I think this is a pretty high price to pay.
I think they want players. They want players in return. They don't want draft capital. They'll get draft capital, but if you're going to trade Dylan Larkin, you got to get something that is, you got to get a player that's going to join your team right away with high upside. That's why the Anton Lundell thing makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in the league for 5 years now. He's been stagnant. I mean, he's good. He's not great. I think his career high in goals is 18. He's done that twice. He's had 44 points twice his first season and then last year. But he's also a guy who's been, you know, is may not be playing with the best players out there just yet, but holding his own. There's a lot to like with him if they can and get more players. But I don't know if Florida wants to keep dealing, because Florida also right now, they don't have a goaltender. So they're trying to retain Bobrovsky, but they're not sure they're going to be able to do that. There's rumors they're in on Hellebuck to try to trade for him. Florida's making moves happen because they see a window here. They want to win a Stanley Cup again. I also don't necessarily want to help Florida do that. I feel like if Florida acquired Dylan Larkin, then you'd be handing him a Stanley Cup. And I don't know if I'm still a little spiteful here, and I know that if you want to be a GM, you can't be spiteful. You got to be objective. But my spiteful self says, no way do I want to put Dylan Larkin on a team where he's playing with more of his buddies. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do what's best for the Detroit Red Wings, and that still remains to be seen.
Let's go to Dale in Sterling Heights. You're next. Hello, Dale.
Hi, guys. Great show as always. How are you today?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Hey, I was thinking somebody mentioned Robertson from Dallas. Well, we got a guy here that's got 40, 41 goals in DeBrincat, right? Are they going to pay him $14 million? I kind of caught in at the end of the conversation, but are we prepared to pay DeBrincat $14 million and to keep him around? Or would you, what's going on? And these guys in Grand Rapids, are they going to be working on a pension already by the time we bring them up to start playing for us and to see them in Detroit?
Well, DeBrincat's under contract for one more year. He's
2 years older.
He's older than Robertson.
And he's never come close to the numbers that Robertson. I mean, he may have. The goal scoring is there, right? But the total point package is not. I mean, he had his best season as a pro. DeBrincat did this last year with 85 points. Robertson poured in 96. And Robertson has a 100-point season under his belt as well. I like Alex DeBrincat a lot.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that we'd be talking about having to trade DeBrincat during the course of the year, because he'll be a free agent after next year.
I'm sorry.
I said they may have to talk about trading DeBrincat anyway, so we'll see.
Yeah. Thank you for phone call. As far as the guys in Grand Rapids is an interesting roster. It feels like there's some older players that are really good at minor league hockey.
Right.
And then there's some younger players that haven't quite done enough to get the call up yet.
Right. And guys that had their trajectory stunted a little bit because of injuries. Whether it's Carter Mazur, I think they had high hopes for him, and then he keeps getting hurt. Nate Danielson, real high hopes. I mean, that's a top five pick, I believe, or top 10 pick, I think, in the draft. But he's been banged up with injuries. And then you've got guys you haven't seen yet, like Carter Bear, Max Plant, that they have high hopes for.
Let's go to E in Detroit. You're on 97.1. Hello, E.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I got a Tamron chump for you. My chump is Ward Manuel. Yeah, I mean, here we go again. You hardball win the championship, and you don't give him a good contract, and you let him go. Dusty may get you a championship. You don't get him a contract, and you let him go. Ward Manuel need to go. The president and the powers that be need to get that AD out of here. We can't keep losing great coaches. And first off, go Blue. Second, my champ is Dusty May. You guys are championship. Now he's going to get the money in Dallas. And I wish nothing but the best, nothing but success.
Well, I will tell you that I believe those situations were very different. And in the case of Jim Harbaugh definitely wanted to leave Michigan. Okay. And Dusty May, we'll wait to see how this story plays itself out. Source told me he's fed up with the state of college athletics, but you know, I'm not sure if I believe that. I mean, he could be, everybody kind of is, but the one thing about it is that guy adapted better than almost anybody to the new state of college athletics.
Well,
I think, and Look, you can tell people stuff like that if you don't want to hurt their feelings or don't want to say it's all about the money.
We'll see what the money is. I suspect you're going to look at the contract that he signs with Dallas and you're going to say, well, it's a lot about the money. No. Just like Harbaugh was a lot about the money, too. I mean, Harbaugh signed a five-year, $80 million contract with the Chargers. That's $16 million a year. That's way more than he was getting at Michigan.
248-539-9797. Champ and Chump votes get him in. As reaction comes in to Dusty May taking the Mavericks job, the latest on the NHL with the Larkin stuff. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1.